You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, Cooligans bonus special,
little extra, episode here.
Yeah, it feels like the streets, they really want more content from the Cooligans.
Streets is talking.
They're asking for
We're hearing the jibber jabber. We know what y'all want. Y'all want more Cooligans. Well, here it is. This is going to be dope. This is, we've been dropping these interviews in the middle of our podcast as a second segment. But there was so much to talk about this week that we thought, why not do this? And you know what? I kind of like this way.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
You guys get a little extra,
We can devote the entire episode to, a particular team or particular issue, and this week it's the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Union, which is a team that I think a lot of people aren't really talking about, but they were, started out really, really well, and they're making a nice push to the playoff.
Yeah, they were in first place a couple times in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and they're right up there. Everyone talks about NYCFC and Toronto and some of the other big dogs. No one's talking about Philadelphia Union except your boys right here.
That's right.
The Cooligans.
We're showing them some love.
Yeah, and who do we go out and get? Well, there's a couple people, right? There's a lot of really popular, Tana Wald is a very popular person who speaks about the Philadelphia Union. But we want the voice of the club, not just a beat writer. We've interviewed a lot of beat writers. So let's go in and get the voice of the club. So Marissa Pilla, for those of you who watch Philadelphia Union at home, if you guys don't get a chance to go out to the matches, you know Marissa Pilla. She's a sideline reporter.
She's an insider.
Yeah, she's an insider for sure.
Yeah, very much
and,
so.
She brings about some great information. We learned a lot about her uncle, who's ready to break any kneecaps.
Nobody mess with my niece.
Yeah, nobody messes with my niece or I break your knees. That's how it works.
He does it. We are quoting him.
Yeah, yeah. He rhymes a lot. Failed rapper. Please don't say that to him. Again, that was Christian Polanco doing Alexis's voice.
Exactly.
There's a lot. And, as the weeks go along, we're going to keep bringing you some additional. I mean, we're not going to be able to do it every week, but we want to bring you some additional content. So this week, we got a little interview coming up. Marissa Pilla, she's absolutely amazing. A lot of stuff's happened in the Champions League. All that stuff we're going to talk about, obviously, this weekend of matches, both in the MLS and the EPL and all this information all over the world. We're going to talk about that next week on our next official podcast episode. But for right now, quick word from our sponsor. And then after that, a little bit of a...
Just some union talk.
Just a little union talk.
Yeah,
it's so funny that her uncle and union. I never thought that, put that together. Hoffa, I don't know where he is. But right now, here's a word from our sponsor. And as soon as we get back, our interview with Marissa Pilla. Hey, everybody. This is Alexis from the Cooligans. I'm breaking in just to talk to you a little bit about Mack Weldon. I've talked about this underwear before. They're absolutely amazing. And look, they sell more than underwear. But here I'm going to tell you about this underwear because I guarantee you that the underwear that I'm talking about is better than the garbage you have at home. Okay. I know that because I have that same garbage. Now I have a pair of Mack Weldon underwear. Absolutely incredible. I was at a wedding in the woods. I don't know who got married in the woods. I don't understand why they just can't have it in a hall. Like everyone else with parents arguing, they decided to do it out in the middle of the woods. I danced my ass off. I must have danced for about 4 or 5 hours straight. My knees are killing me. I'm an older man now. I don't know what's happening to me. But you know what didn't bother me? The fucking underwear I was wearing. It smelled amazing when I took them off. I danced all night. I wore them to sleep. I woke up the next morning, took them off, and I was like, you know what? Let me check these one more time. I smelled them incredible. Again, gave them to my wife. You know what she said? They don't smell bad, which that's world-class level. That's gold. It's winning gold in the Olympics level for my underwear. They usually smell bad coming back from the cleaners, and they're like, we don't know what to do with these things. These things smell good on the way to the cleaners. It's incredible. It's totally different. I don't know what to say about it. They're magic. They're made out of mirror station. I don't know what they're made out of, but you guys got to go try them. Go to MackWeldon.com. If you use the code Cooligans, you're going to get 20% off. That's Cooligans. You're going to get 20% off the best damn underwear you can get. MackWeldon.com. Well, we talked about an interview, and here we are.
We are. Yeah. Yeah, it's a very serious introduction. We usually have a little bit more. It's usually more lighthearted.
But remember, we're doing all of that. We're going to do another. We're going to do our own intro.
Oh, we're going to do our own intro. That's right. That's right. Okay.
Oh, cool. You thought this was it?
I'm like, wow, this is apparently we're on NPR.
Yeah, our fans, they say, oh, a new Cooligans podcast. Midweek, too. What a shock. Yes. Click hello. And then all of a sudden, boom, we're in the middle of an interview.
Yeah, this is just so much content. Can't even fit in just one episode per week.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So what we've done is we've added two, and we talked a little bit about it up front, but we're trying to get to know some of these teams from the playoffs, and maybe not everyone has had the chance to sort of see the Philadelphia Union play. So we said, why not find someone who is there, not only in the locker room, on the sidelines, but at every match. So we got, ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, round of applause for Marissa Pilla, everybody.
Thank you. You're too kind.
Oh, please. Is it Pilla and everyone just calls you Pilla because it's two L's?
No, it's Pilla. Pilla.
We were having a small debate before we started the interview. Like, oh, are we going to get this wrong? We might get this wrong.
But you guys are good.
We're both Latinos, so we're like, let's just call her Pilla, okay? just to represent. If you don't mind us asking, what is your nationality? Are you Italian, maybe?
I'm Italian, yeah. So go. I do get the Pilla thing a lot. And people like to roll the R in my first name too. So it gets very Latin sounding.
That is. Where Pilla. You hanging out with a lot of Latin American singers, band leaders?
Oh,
Marissa Pilla.
Yeah. It's also a very unnecessary roll of the R.
Yeah.
So it's just like, just almost like arrogant and bragging. Yeah.
The guy's wearing he has an Accord in his hand. He's got fringe on the jacket, a big sombrero. Speaking of another Latin kind of name, you guys have someone on your team named Tranquillo Barnetta.
Oh, yes.
And he's from Switzerland.
He is. I've tried to explain this to my Italian Uncle Nemo numerous times that he is not Italian, Tranquillo Barnetta, that he's from Switzerland. But he does have Italian descent, and he has family members who are from Italy, and, you know, that border along Italy and Switzerland and the Alps, you know, gets a little... different up there. So, he's Swiss.
Uncle Nemo is always trying to claim.
Uncle Nemo is trying to bring everybody in. Uncle Nemo's like, is he good? I think he's Italian.
He must be Italian then.
I got an uncle like that for Cuba. And anybody who could throw a baseball fast. Oh, he's Dominican. Nah, I think his grandfather must have been from Cuba. Anyway.
Yeah.
So let me ask you now, how long have you been associated with the Philadelphia Union?
Well, I joined the team back in January as a team insider, and I've been I'm with the team almost every day. I'm the sideline reporter during the matches, pregame show host. So I kind of get to see the team in a lot of different settings, and it's been a lot of fun. This is a great team to be a part of.
So you had to be there for a pretty rough, last season then.
Oh, no, I kind of came in with the new group that came in January. So I came in right after the announcement of Ernie Stewart. And I think my first week was the super draft. So immediately I was thrown in with the new mix and the new people coming in. It was all very exciting. A lot of stuff to cover very early on.
Yeah. And speaking of that super draft and Ernie, I saw a video recently. It was sort of a big interest to get local guys.
Oh, for sure.
And for sure. You know, one of those is Rosenberry, who's just had an absolutely amazing season, rookie season, finished behind one of our guys, Jack Harrison in the 24-under-24, but still an amazing season. Can you tell us a little bit about what the changes that Ernie has brought? I know you weren't there before, but it seems to be such a positive energy around Philadelphia Union, which I can tell you as being a fan in the Eastern Conference, that did not exist last season.
It's just Ernie Stewart just has this great vision for the team, and then his follow-through is even more incredible, which is so fun to watch because he just knows what he wants to get done with this team, and he's taking the proper steps. And, I mean, Keegan is a great example. They really went into the draft with a defensive mind. They wanted to get defenders, and they did that with Keegan, with Josh. Keegan has really blossomed. I mean, I don't know if for some people he might have flown under the radar up until the combine, and maybe people were a little surprised with how high he did get drafted, but he's just been phenomenal for the team this year. And just his on-field presence, along with like kind of who he is off of the field, it's just, he's a great rookie to have. And you almost forget he is a rookie with the way he acts sometimes.
And you were talking about Ernie Stewart and sort of his sense of, conveying a sense of leadership. When I watch him during interviews, there is a sense of like, I wish that guy was my dad. He just like knows. I don't know. For everything he says, you're like, you sort of treat it as gospel. And he has a history of success, in Europe. So,
and national team player.
Yeah. What is it? What is it about him that sort of how has the team sort of responded to him and sort of his communication style?
I think just because he's a reasonable guy, he doesn't ask for anything unreasonable. He just wants results and he's going to give you the tools to get them. And he just wants to see you put them to good use and make good of it. And I think that's what people respond really well to. Cause I mean, this team was changed dramatically over the offseason. The approach they were taking in spring training in Florida was so different to what they did last year. And immediately they all just bought on because, like you said, like when Ernie says something, he's the type of person where you just listen because he has had so much success and he's a respected guy. And he can be not intimidating because he's a nice guy, but you just want to be around him and learn from him. I've learned so much from just standing next to him or near him during training and like listening to him or watching what he's watching. So he's just been really fun to kind of be around, and people do gravitate towards him.
Absolutely. And I get what you're saying about the whole dad thing, because there's like this weird sense of stoicism when he speaks. He has a confidence that you're like, okay, he's going to be right. And I think the video I saw sort of had an interview with him prior to that, that super draft. And, my whole thought was, man, if this is a tough team to come in and to sort of try to change, and, I wonder if it's not going to work. And we saw the beginning of the season was incredible, and you guys are still hanging in there in fourth place. Let's talk a little bit about the style. What are people going to see when they watch Philadelphia Union, or maybe if their team goes up against the Philadelphia Union? What kind of a style? Because I know you guys talk a little bit about the high press, but what else?
Yeah, it's a lot about the high press, and it's a lot about just keeping their shape through the middle. And I think Bedoya has really helped with that. They really needed that sort of link player early on to kind of service the defense and transition into the offense. And, Bedoya served as that link and is serving as that link. And I think people need to realize that this is a Union team where maybe in years past, they sat back a little and watched how other teams were going to play and then reacted, where now they're coming in with their own mindset. And this is a team that's kind of just going full at it as soon as the whistle blows, which I think caught some teams off guard in the beginning of the season, and teams are preparing better for it now. But that's just kind of who they are now. They don't want to be a reactive team. They want to be the one putting someone else on their heels.
Yeah, absolutely. And CJ Sapong, he plays, I guess he's more of a target man, or is he, I mean, he plays with his back to goal, correct?
Yes, he does. He's just so physical and he's such a big target up front. That's the thing. He's so physical, and people have said many times that he doesn't get the calls maybe he deserves because of his physicality. It almost reminds me of like Cam Newton getting hit so many times, and you think, oh, because he's a big guy, you can shake it off and he's going to be okay. CJ's kind of like that guy.
No, there's no concussion here. He's too big to get a concussion. Oh,
yeah. Hey, Cam, what's your name? I don't know. Exactly. Get him back in there, baby. Let me ask you, because, it seems like goal-wise, he's struggling a little bit. I mean, is that a worry for the team? Is that something that maybe the manager is looking at, maybe having someone else up front? Because I know you guys, you guys sort of swarm, and I know a lot of the midfielders have a lot of the goal scoring responsibilities on them. But, you still want your target guy to be able to sort of get some of those goals. 7, I think, on the season right now doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, I know they definitely want to get him involved, and they've been trying to. I mean, you've seen a lot of balls go his way, and they try to target him on set pieces and things. And I just think they also realize, yes, it's important to get CJ involved, but the good thing is that they have so many other attacking options. I mean, Chris Pontius has been playing so well. Even Fabian Herbers has adapted well to being on the wing and as a servicing player. Roland Alberg, we've seen him come off the bench as an offensive option. So I think it's on their mind and on their forefront. They they need to get CJ involved. I don't think they're worried about it because they know he's capable of doing it. I just think it's just one of those little rhythms of the season that they're in right now.
One thing I was curious about regarding Alejandro Bedoya, what was it like before he arrived? You know, like there seemed to be a lot of confusion over where he was going to go. There was a lot of rumors of what team was going to get him. Mm-hmm. You know, it seemed like he was most likely going to the Chicago Fire, but he ended up in Philly. So what was that confusion sort of like when before he arrived?
It was tough because the anticipation was so high, and the team was so close to signing him last year, and then it kind of fell apart. So I think as true Philly fans, everybody was cautiously optimistic. I mean, that's kind of how we live our lives over here. anything. But then the news kept trickling in, like, okay, like he's getting a physical, and he even told me when he finally got to Philly that he thought he was going to Chicago, and all of a sudden he gets a text from Charlie Davies saying like, oh, I'm going to Philly. Like, are you coming to Philly? And he like kind of was up in the air about everything.
Charlie Davies just sent him a Facebook event invite. Hey, you going to,
you want to come with me to this thing I'm doing? I'm going to go play for this new team.
So it was all very much like we were holding our breaths a little bit. And then when we finally got the news, I mean, we were so excited and just so ready for him to come. We had a lot of things planned for him to get here. And he's been a great addition. He already knows a lot of the guys, which I think makes his transition really smooth into this team. And he's already taken a little bit of a leadership role, which I think is great.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Well, that goal just last week was incredible.
It was pretty.
I mean, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And it was cool to see because, you know, Bedoya's not really, you know, in Philly to just, put up a bunch of goals. That's not really I imagine that's not what's expected, but it's a nice addition if it does happen.
Oh yeah, I mean, he came in here and said, listen, I'm not the flashiest player, but I'm here to like help the team. And I think that was like just a good mindset to come into. I know he's talked a lot about meeting expectations that people have for him because he's coming as a national team member, he's a designated player, you know, but he's staying true to his style and what serves him best. He's not trying to be somebody else that he's not, because if you've heard Bedoya talk, he's very self-assured, and I think that's a great mindset to have. And he's, even though that was his first goal and he's played several games for the Union, no one in any way is disappointed in Alejandro Bedoya, you know? I don't think you can be, because he goes out there and plays so hard for so long, and he's been great for this team.
Yeah, and if you look at the way Philadelphia Union plays, it's sort of important, especially when you have a high press line, to keep to keep possession for as long as possible. And if there's one thing I could say about Bedoya is him and Barnetta sort of make that possible. They're sort of, I don't want to call them fulcrums, but they're almost aiding in keeping possession for as long as possible. And I think and his goal scoring capabilities are there, and I don't think they need to be shown at all times. But I mean, he adds so much. What about his leadership? Because I know Charlie Davies is there now, and that's also great to have someone with the national team experience, and sort of, you know, Marisa Du is there, Chris Pontius with a big history in the MLS. What has Bedoya changed in the locker room?
I think he just has kept this team focused. I mean, they are in it for the playoffs this year. That is what's on everybody's mind. And not only just to make the playoffs, but to make some noise. And I think Bedoya's presence just further increases that, because I think he keeps the level of competitiveness up at training every day. You know, he always wants to be the best. So does everybody on this team. So I think it just kept the focus there, and it gave them a sense of freshness when kind of they were in a little bit of a rut, I would say, at one point in the season before he came. And he's just helped kind of solidify the idea that they were pressing for all season long.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the thing I'm most excited about with Bedoya being in the MLS is just his Twitter account, because yeah. Bedoya's been known to be very outspoken.
Yeah, the homie likes to throw a little shade.
So it's very exciting to have, a bit of a social presence in the MLS because it seems like most players in the MLS seem to be more, you know, a little to themselves, a little less quiet, just more focused on
yeah,
the
they're
team.
Introverts.
Yeah. And you know, with our athletes, we sort of expect some of them to be a bit more outspoken than others, not mm-hmm. not in an arrogant way, but Bedoya seems to be comfortable with that role.
Yeah, he seems to be taking on the Philly fan attitude, which is, you know, no holds barred, which we love just watching. But yeah, just back to what he was saying, you know, he's added so much just in that. Would you agree?
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's always good for the players just to have a presence of themselves. And yeah, he speaks his mind. And Jim Curtin has said in press conferences that, you know, he's allowed to speak his mind on Twitter or whatever. And just about him posting a ton, I think it's great, especially for the team, because it puts him out there more and he has so many followers and it can only say good things about the team. And then I think some guys are getting cues from him and they're being a little more active on social media, which is always good because you want to see these guys' personalities. And there's so many great personalities on this team. And I'm kind of happy that they're showing them off a little bit more on social media and just posting a little bit more.
I'd love to see just the first 11 just go at anyone on Twitter. I mean, that would be amazing.
It is a different philosophy, right? Because we see with like Patrick Vieira, the head coach of NYCFC, he seems to be very against his players posting too much on social media. There was a time Mikey Lopez and Kyrie Shelton got suspended for one game, you know, by the team for basically, you know, being a little too braggadocious about a game. I guess I think it was FC Dallas. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, it was almost pretending like they didn't know who would be playing again. Oh yeah, it's not important. And for them, they're both from Texas, so I think it was for them it was fun. But yeah, Vieira did not find it very funny.
But it's good that some, you know, that there's different philosophies amongst other managers that, you know, that isn't a thing that will constantly sort of repel any kind of personality amongst their players.
Yeah, which is shocking because you would assume Ernie Stewart would not want that to be, you know, he wouldn't want it to be that way because he comes across as almost a military kind of guy.
Sure.
Oh, he is. And he's very respectful to other teams in the league. And he's always very stresses the importance of never offending anybody and everything like that. So I think that, of course, I'm sure they have guidelines. I'm not a part of their, you know, their ethics proposals for the teams, but I know they have their guidelines and things like that. But to a certain extent, you know, posting like about getting ice cream is fun for the players to kind of show their personalities. And Jim Curtin in that way is all about.
I'm offended by that tweet and I'm reporting it.
Ice cream. I am lactose intolerant and therefore intolerant to that post. I want everyone to know I'm not lactose intolerant. So if you see me in the streets, feel free to buy me a scoop. Okay. But we just want, I mean, if you can tell Bedoya the next time you see him that there's two guys in New York who absolutely love it. And one of them, myself, originally from Jersey like him. So tell him to go for it. That's that real North Jersey style. You don't take shit from nobody. I like it. I like it, Bedoya. Dude with a ponytail with an attitude, I really respect.
So the Philadelphia Union will, they haven't clinched the playoff spot, but they will most likely
be 99.4%. So if you don't, you really you're definitely coming back on this podcast to talk about what possibly happened, but it looks like it's going to happen.
What do you expect? You know, where do you think they'll end up, in the playoff table? And you know, you know, cause right now they're in fourth. If I believe they would play, who would they play? They would play.
Well, the first team gets a bye, right?
The first two get a bye.
First two.
Three play six and four play five. They will play Montreal Impact.
If it started today.
Exactly. So how do you feel about Philly's playoff chances at the moment?
I think they're good. I mean, I've seen this team kind of progress all season long. And of course, I'm very biased. I really believe in them. I think they just have good players and that the chemistry on the team is right. And, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in 5 years, but this is a team that's so focused and so dedicated to that. And if they were to play Montreal, I mean, they have given the Union trouble throughout the season, but I think given the environment surrounding the game would push things into the Union's edge. But of course, I mean, I'm rooting for the Union all the way.
Sure. And
like a Philly fan, I mean, I'm buying tickets for the finals. So, you know, I really believe in this team and I think they have the pieces in place to really make a strong push throughout the playoffs.
What do you mean you're buying tickets? You don't get to go?
No. Like, there's always that joke, like in Philly, like if the Eagles win their first game, people are buying Super Bowl tickets.
Okay.
Like,
okay. All right. I was going to say, like, even if I assume you'll get invited. If not, maybe Uncle Nemo knows a guy. I think Uncle Nemo might know a guy. You know, Uncle Nemo could hook it up.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Pressurize some people. But let me ask you, obviously playing a team that high pressing versus someone like Montreal who counterattacks, that's probably the biggest fear you have. So I'm sure the way the East looks right now, it's going to jostle up and down. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about some of these young players, guys like Rosenberry and Hebbers. I don't know how long he's been in the league exactly, but guys like that, I mean, you have a lot of leadership around you. Do you think these guys are, you know, headstrong? Is this a big shock to them? You think they'll be able to sort of keep it together in a long playoff run?
Oh, I think so. I mean, especially Keegan. I mean, he started every minute of every game. He's the only player in the league that can say that. And I think that's huge for a rookie to say, especially for the position he plays. And, you know, that defense for the Union, it's young in general. I mean, Fabi's the oldest guy, and he's still relatively young. So I think this team has a lot of leadership. I mean, Brian Carroll has been huge for this team, both on and off the field. But the young guys like Keegan and Herbers, Josh, even Ken is young, Richie, they're all young. And they all just believe in themselves. And on numerous occasions this season, Jim Curtin has said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're young or old, it matters if you can play soccer. And that's why he's been putting this lineup out consistently, is because he believes in these guys. And they have shown that, you know, they're the type of guys that don't let outside factors affect how they play onto the field. And I think a playoff situation would kind of just prove that.
One guy I did really want to ask about was your goalkeeper, Andre Blake, one of the best goalkeepers in the MLS. Obviously, the Jamaican national team goalkeeper. Why has he, for whatever reason, I feel like he's a person you don't I don't hear much of coming from. Like, I don't know. I don't see too many interviews with him. He seems seems to be a little, you know, very to himself. But he's a very poised goalkeyeper. And
young as well.
Yeah, 25 years old. What does he mean to that backline? How is he sort of?
Is he like a vocal leader? Is he arranging that backline? Or tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a quieter guy, I guess, off the field, but still, like, he's one of those guys, once you get to know him, he's one of the funniest guys, you know. But on the field, he very much takes a vocal leadership. He and Richie Marquez really kind of dictate that back line and putting people in position on certain plays. But he's great. His leadership has been huge. I mean, this is really his first full season. He suffered injuries, and I think he was a little frustrated in seasons past where he couldn't be that guy he wanted to be for the Union. And this is the year that he can be, and he's proving that he is that solid goalkeeper. I mean, last season they had such a carousel of goalkeepers for the Union, and it was a little bit of a mess. And this year it's just the consistency has been amazing for this team, because they know Andre is going to be there. He's come up huge in so many different games to make big time saves. Jim has said on multiple occasions, you know, like, Andre bailed us out of this game. And sometimes when he doesn't have his best game, they say, you know, he can make mistakes because we've made so many and he's bailed us out, sort of thing. So they have a lot of trust in him. And I think that's why also they feel like they can go a little younger on defense, too, because they trust Andre so much.
Was he the first choice keeper at the beginning of the season?
Oh, yeah.
OK,
yeah.
For some reason, I remembered him getting the job out of injury, but I might be mistaken. I obviously am.
I mean, him and John McCarthy have done compete so well in practice. John's another great goalkeeper. And then Matt Jones came in preseason as well. But I think everybody was really pushing for Andre. I mean, he was a first round draft pick, and he just had some injuries seasons prior, and he was just healthy, you know, and kind of lined up for him. And he's had a fantastic year so far.
Absolutely. Now, I guess looking forward to the future, obviously Barnetta has just released that he's looking to go back home at the end of the season. Unfortunately, he's a free agent, so you guys aren't going to get any value for him. Free agent meaning he's moving on a free back to Switzerland. So I guess my question for you is, give us a little bit of an idea, because a lot is being said about your youth setup out there and your academy. Can you give us an idea? Is that something you guys are going to have to go to the draft to replace him? Is there someone in the reserves or maybe even in the academy that you could see that can sort of step in? Give us a little bit of an idea of that, and then maybe like in a little bit of an idea of just about the youth setup, because I know that's important for Ernie, and we talk a lot about we talk about it a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think as of now, the team's focus is, I mean, he's still here and they still have games to play and he's still going to play a huge role in the last few games of the regular season and the push into the playoffs. So I think for now, their focus is on having him, giving him the best opportunity to go out of MLS on the best note they can, because he's given so much to this team during his time. And then I think looking ahead, you know, they do have a couple options. They have guys who've played that role. Alejandro Bedoya has played that role. Even Leo Fernandez, we see Roland Alberg in that position as well. And there's always the option to draft. As you mentioned, we have a great academy where, you know, kids as young as like 13 years old, instead of going to high school, are going to the Union Academy, just about an hour away from Philadelphia. And they're getting a great education and also getting trained full, like, throughout the day. Sometimes they're even being called up to play in practice with the first team during training, which is huge. I mean, these are like 16, 17 year old kids, and it's an approach that's been around in Europe for so long, but it's something that the Union really were pioneers with here and really have made it into something. I mean, we've seen Derek Jones and Austin Trusty get signed, who were academy players and have played minutes with Bethlehem Steel. And I mean, their youth program right now is just phenomenal, and they really focus a lot on it because there's great talent in this area and they want to make sure that they're harboring it and making the most out of it.
Awesome. I mean, look, it seems like there's a bright future ahead. Hopefully you don't run into NYCFC in the playoffs, because I feel like that bright future is going to stop short. please don't tell Alejandro. You know what? I'll tweet Alejandro Bedoya that. See what he retweets back. But
one quick thing before we go, I wanted to ask, do you think that was a penalty, the Altidore foul in the box, or the Sapong foul? Wow. You know, it seemed...
Who fouled who first? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not getting in on that. Yeah.
So you heard it here first. It should have been a penalty. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to speak to us. Is there anything that you want our fans to know, anywhere where they can follow you?
Sure. I mean, I'm on Twitter at Union Marissa, and you can follow the Union at Philadelphia Union. We're on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Our social media person is awesome, and we put out a lot of great content that you guys should check out.
Awesome.
Marissa, thank you so much. This was awesome.
This was a great, great interview. Absolutely. And let's see how far the Union go, and maybe we'll have you back on this podcast. Because if you guys do get to that final, I know you have your ticket purchased. So we want to talk to you before you get on that plane.
Figuratively,
of course. Give our best to Uncle Nemo.
Of course.
And thank you so much for spending the time with us.
Of course. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that? Because I did.
I know I did. Marissa, thank you so much for spending the time with us. She was great. A lot of information. She's very positive.
Yeah, which I feel like when you are working with the team so closely, you sort of have to be.
Yeah, these are your friends.
Yeah, it's like it would be strange if she was like, you know what, I'm not really like into
Pontius. Get him out of here.
You know, like if she was pessimistic, it'd be like, really? Well, I'm like, okay,
you're right, you can't do that. It's so funny though, like how positive she was, and she's like, you know, I gotta be honest, I think we're gonna win.
No,
it's very infectious though. Like it feels to me like that might be the general mood of the club, because everyone has like this positive feeling around that club.
Exactly, because we've spoken to other writers from other teams that aren't doing so well, and that was not the energy that they were giving.
No, not at all. Even one team that was doing pretty well, there was no energy in the interview whatsoever. You guys could listen back and you know who I'm talking about. But I mean, it seems like she sort of represents something new for Philadelphia sports fans.
Yeah.
Because I don't think any Philadelphia team or club or anything that is associated with Philadelphia generally has this optimistic of a view.
Yeah. And I think we were talking about Ernie Stewart a lot, and that, I think that's a huge part of it, because she was mentioning that she came in at the same time with
right. You know, so that's Ernie, all she knows of Philadelphia.
Exactly.
You're right.
So the culture is new for her, for all the people there. And it's clear, like, that this is the culture that they want to sort of make sure is infectious, this positivity, this real belief that the team belongs where they are and they don't need to be like a struggling team at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, and also I would like to send a sincere apology to anyone who's driving and might have pulled over thinking a cop was coming. we're recording this on the second floor. New York City is a very, very busy city, so you hear a lot of stuff in the background. We tried our best, so hopefully some of that was drowned out. We apologize if not, but it was a great, great interview.
But just keep in mind that if you support our sponsors, you will be, you know, help us get to a studio on a higher floor.
Yeah, we will get to a higher floor. So for those of you who heard the Mack Welding commercials, please, please go by. That would be a massive, massive win for us. And maybe we could drown out some of this police noise and we won't need all these Foley artists, Foley sound artists to make all this noise.
Also, so we should really resolve your warrants that you have after.
Yeah, every time a cop comes by, I hide under the desk here. But there was a lot in this episode. And the next special we have coming out is for all of you fantasy heads.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of information on that we'll talk about in the next podcast. But also, this is a great opportunity for you guys to let us know what it is that you want to hear. We're out here. We're recording. You know, we're interviewing people. Who do you want us to talk to? You know, who do you want us to interview? Who can you, hey, can one of you guys help us get an interview with maybe a player or somebody of that stature? You know, help us out. Let us know.
Yeah.
Shoot us an email. Again, we're soccercooligans@gmail.com. Let us know. What do you want us to talk about? Who do you want us to interview? Tweet at us. We're at soccercooligans on Instagram and on Twitter. Post messages. We're giving shirts away. We're doing the best we can here. But it's also you guys as fans. You're our listeners. We want to make you happy. Let us know what you want to see different or more of or hear more of.
Yeah, and we have Cooligan stickers. And if you want some of those,
absolutely,
just email soccercooligans@gmail.com with where you want the sticker sent, and I will send it over to you directly.
Absolutely. And we got a special package going out to Scotland that I forgot to mention. But that stuff's going to be going out very, very soon. But thank you for listening, by the way. We got fans all over the world, baby.
We do. We're global.
And let us know. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know if there's anything that you haven't heard. And if you know someone that you could set up an interview, let's do it. All right. So shoot us an email, soccercooligans@gmail.com. Get stickers. Let us know what you want. Thank you so much for listening. This has been fun. You have fun, Christian?
I had so much fun.
Oh, I can hear it in your voice. Mm. Well, I hope you guys had fun listening to this, because this has been a special episode of the Cooligans.